Hello, and thanks for coming today to Geezers of Gear, episode number 226. Today's podcast is brought to you by Mainlite. Mainlite is a national dry hire rental provider specializing in supplying the latest lighting and stage equipment technology. Their extensive rental inventory includes moving lights, truss solutions, control consoles, LEDs, and an array of weather-resistant IP65 rated fixtures, perfect for outdoor venues. Whether for theater productions, outdoor stadium events, or TV and film broadcast, Mainlite is the partner you trust with the gear you want. Committed to quality and reliability, Mainlite also provides a robust selection of used options to their clients. Each item is meticulously maintained, owned by Mainlite, and comes with a 60-day warranty, providing you with confidence in your purchase. Strategically located across the U.S., their four locations include Tri-State in Teterboro, East in Wilmington, Delaware, South in Nashville, and West in Las Vegas. They combine the vast resources of a national company with the attentive personal service of a local provider. Discover how Mainlite can equip your next event by visiting mainlite.com today and get a direct quote through their comprehensive online ordering platform. Today's podcast is also brought to you by Elation Professional. Elation is excited to offer the new Proteus Hybrid Max, the highly anticipated successor to the company's pioneering Proteus Hybrid, the moving head that arguably started the revolution in IP-rated lighting. Faster, brighter, and with a tougher IP66 rating, the Proteus Hybrid Max has already been featured on some premier events like the New Year's Eve light show on Seattle Space Needle and Enchanted Forest of Light at, oh boy, Eric just told me how to pronounce this yesterday, DeSanso Gardens in Southern California. Sorry. Please check out the Proteus Hybrid Max today at elationlighting.com. So I always like to come on here and do an intro that's all kinds of ingenious, brilliant things to say, which usually I don't say anything very ingenious or brilliant, but I got nothing today. I have no ideas of stuff to talk about, so I'm just going to go ahead and read the bio for today's guest, who is a person who I like a whole lot and probably all of you know of, have heard of, read his posts on Facebook. Stephen Creech Anderson has been in the industry for over 40 years. Stephen started as a stagehand in Dallas, and his first gig was with Motley Crue in 1985. His career kept on getting better and better, working with incredible artists such as Metallica, Scorpions, Rush, Elton John, Bob Seger, and Aerosmith, to name just a few. With Premier Global Production Company for 21 years now, Stephen has applied a hands-on approach to each lighting project he has been involved with. Customer service is the most important aspect of our industry, and with his passion, he has been able to succeed. When he's not under the lights and visiting clients, Creech can be found in the ocean, following his other passion, scuba diving, and also photography, photographing sharks and other marine life in particular. I've had the pleasure to have Stephen on the show back in October of 2019, so I am absolutely looking forward to today's chat.
Yeah, I've got two now.
Two grandkids.
So when I got remarried, I married a woman who had four kids already, and one of them was the oldest one has two kids, so, and they're just two and four, so... They call me Grandpa Creech. Oh,
I've been calling you that for years.
Yeah.
By the way, we're recording now.
That's cool.
We're recording. It's a party. Even yeah. Sarah's on. Jeez, Sarah's never on the recording.
I gotta tell you, Marcel, I lucked out when I got remarried. I met the right woman.
Uh oh.
Nurse at that.
Yeah.
And then three.
Hang on a sec. We got an internet problem.
Kick ass kids. And
okay, now we're really recording. We had a test. We had a test recording. Actually, you know, this happens. Like this is the challenge of having a remote podcast. So yesterday, or actually this morning, I think it launched. But Eric Wade, I had Eric Wade on, and we did a half hour of talking. And I look at the screen, and it says paused. It's flashing in red, paused. And I'm 30 minutes in, and I'm like, oh, no. And I have no idea how it happened, because it started and then it paused itself somehow. Maybe I hit a space bar or something by accident. I have no idea. But so, I mean, we finished it, and I told him, and I'm like, it's a little shorter than I thought it was going to be. And we had that. Remember that great talk we had?
Minutes.
It's gone. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's happened a few times. The Eric Loader one is the classic one when he recorded on his 50th birthday. And it was the morning of his 50th birthday, and he was getting ready to go play golf. And we recorded a podcast because he said, you're not a geezer till you're 50. And so we record this amazing, like 90-minute talk or whatever, maybe even 2 hours. And I go, Eric, I got a problem. And he goes, what? And I said, I forgot to hit record. So it was a 2 hour discussion that just went to. So you know how nice Eric is. Eric goes, oh, well, let me go take a leak and grab another coffee and we'll just do it again. I'm like, are you kidding me? On your 50th birthday, holding up your tea time, and you're just going to record it again. And he goes, yeah, why not? Well, so
That's how he is.
Yeah, right? He's a nice guy. He's probably the opposite of me. He never gets riled up. He never gets excited. He doesn't get anxious like me and you. I guess you're probably me times seven. So
as I've gotten older, I've just I just slowed down. Yeah. My dad used to say, the hurrier I get, the more behind I fall. He was fucking right.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's true, my wife gets mad at me in the air. Airport, when I get on the escalator thing, she's like speed walking down on the right, on the left hand side. I'm leaning on the goddamn rail. She gets to the very end. She's like, she's got hands around. I'm like,
that's hilarious.
I'm not moving fast.
I'm with her. Honestly, I can't slow myself down yet. Maybe I just need to get a little older still, and I'll slow it down. I'll
I just got to make sure my layovers have plenty of time.
That's hilarious. Yeah. No, I'm always in a hurry, and I think I've started changing a little bit. You know, I think I've taken a little more time, and you know, breathe a little more and stuff, but. You know, it's just hard. I mean, I'm A type. I'm go, 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 go. You know, I'm always saying yes. Everyone says, hey, does anybody have time to take care of this one thing we need to get done? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. No problem. I'll do it. You know, and my girlfriend just looks at me because I was actually, it was Sarah, our producer. I was talking to her about something. We need to record a whole bunch of these short YouTube videos. And I said, no problem. I'll just take a couple hours and do it on the weekend. And she's looking at me like, you're an idiot, you know? Like, you just keep stacking up your days, whether it's Sunday or Tuesday. Don't matter. You're just stacking it. Stacking it up. So, you know, I got the background from your Pantera show that I didn't see the show because my buddy Creech didn't tell me it was coming. But I guess I kind of need to actually pay attention to what's coming. But, now you opened down here in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, that's a good one. We just picked that up this year, and they changed management, so now it's with Q Prime, and we do a lot of the Q Prime acts.
Yeah, and, they were always weren't they always with Terry Kane and Gemini?
Yeah, which is, you know, I mean, I know Jason. I've known Terry for years. I've known Jason for years, and I felt kind of it was a weird feeling for me, but then again, business is business.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to, as in everything else in this business, you have to find, you get to a point where you can separate your personal life
from
work, So
it's hard to do. It's hard to do, you know. Like, I was always in the moving light business, and I had really good friends that worked at competitors. And mm-hmm. even if you were spotted having a beer at a bar at LDI or something, people freaked out, you know? And so, yeah, it's hard to have friends who are competitors. I mean, you know, we all do, but it's not easy to maintain those relations. It's great until you take one of their shows or they take one of yours. Oh, you know,
well, he probably won't talk to me ever again. But
yeah,
Brian Hartley and Sonny Sutterfield did a great job with it.
Yeah.
Chris Adamson, a friend of mine from way back, is a production manager.
Yeah.
And wow, it's a. I guess I'm old. The music, they sound fucking kick-ass.
Yeah.
The band does. The show looks great. Lamb of God is just loud.
Yeah, loud. Really are. They did a show called, like, Gargantuan or something a few years back, and Dream Theater was on it, and I like Dream Theater, so I went to see Dream Theater, and I saw Lamb of God, and I was like, what the hell is this? You know? There's a lot of energy there.
Oh. Yeah, I... You know, bless their hearts.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Well, you know, and okay, so you got the show from Gemini, but the thing is, they probably never would have changed lighting companies if they didn't change management. And you're doing Q Prime, a lot of Q Prime stuff. So they called you up and said, hey, Creech, we need you to take care of this. What are you going to do? Say, no, I like the guys at Gemini? You can't do that. Yeah.
You can't do that. No.
No.
So it came our way, and their big thing with these floor towers across the back of the amp line. And we ended up, Jim and I had some stuff custom made for that. Well, we kind of did the same thing, kind of duplicated, but not so much, a little different. So actually ours now, which will now go into our rental inventory when this tour is over.
Right.
Cranked 24 feet high.
Oh, wow.
And theirs only went like 8 feet or 13 feet high. So we've added the whole another piece of equipment, which is pretty cool.
Well, God knows, as the way this industry's been going, Pantera could be doing stadiums next year, and you could use them again. I mean, everybody does stadiums now. Stadiums are the new theater.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the new shed. Stadiums are the new shed. Yeah, it's crazy.
But we got a lot going on here. You know, I mean, we just shoved Stapleton out, and
That's a good one.
We got Disturbed out. They're actually here in town this weekend.
Okay.
And then what else? We got fixing to have, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd's going out, Luke Combs, Styx and Foreigner. Foreigner on their own, we're getting ready to ship out next week.
And this is supposedly their final tour now, right?
Yeah, that's what they all say, right?
Everyone, you got to say supposedly. Oh, I mean, Foreigner's already a cover band. So Foreigner's already a cover band. Like, there's no original members in it. So who says they're going to retire? Somebody else will scrape off the name, dust it off, and kick out a new band. Yeah.
I have Stain. They're going out as well in April. So, we've got some killer stuff going on, right?
But
Metallica's getting ready to crank up. Chili Peppers Chili Peppers, I think, rolled out the other day. So,
yeah.
Some days I work from home. I spend a lot of time at home.
Good for you.
It's easy to get stuff done. So, it's coming up on that time, Marcel, for me to head down to Fort Lauderdale for the Sharks. But
there you go. Yeah, I want to talk about that, too.
Maybe sometime in April.
That's
going
cool.
Over to Tiger Beach.
That's cool. We'll have to. I want to talk about that because that's all really interesting, that stuff you do. But going back to so am I wrong, or has the touring season moved earlier? Because, like, I remember when not much happened in January, February, and spring stuff started going out in March or April. But now all of a sudden, like, everything's going out in January or February.
Well,
it's weird.
I know that the Pantera thing was their makeup shows that were booked.
Okay.
By the old management. So they had to go out and do those.
Yeah.
Disturbed? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. But I know that Pantera from here goes down to Australia. So,
yeah.
And then they start back up with Metallica.
Huh.
So, maybe. I mean, Country stuff always does. Usually starts kicking in around January, February. Like we have Lee Bryce out and Riley Green. Those guys usually start about now.
Yeah.
Right. But the other stuff,
Yeah.
No, I think everybody saw they made a lot of money. A lot of people made a lot of money last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think there's still the heat is on.
And it seems to keep growing. And you know, I keep referencing, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but Rapino from Live Nation put out an article about the fact that he said artists, a lot of these artists now have 10 or 15 or 20 million followers on social media. And he said, everyone's wondering if there's still growth in our industry. He said, my job is easy. All I have to do is sell tickets to like 5% of their followers.
Yeah.
You know, which is true. I mean, because there's so damn many of them. So if you only have to sell tickets to 5% of their rabid followers on social media, it's pretty damn easy work. Yeah. So I never looked at it like that, but.
Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
He has got a huge following on YouTube.
Yeah.
And all over social media, for that matter.
Yeah.
And along with his wife. His wife has her own meet and greet.
Get out of here.
I swear. It is, they're a great camp.
Yeah.
That's just, and they have a good time out there.
That's wild. Well, wasn't Morgan Wallen like that too? Like, wasn't he an online, got famous online first?
Morgan
and then
Wallen, there's a few of them that are, you know, that are that same way. So I don't know. I mean, I always say that this cell phone right here is the root of all evil. All of our problems came on.
Yeah.
When they came up with this crazy thing. But you gotta have it.
I know a lot of ex-husbands who wish that there was no such thing as a cell phone. You know, how many people do you know who got caught, you know, either on Facebook or on something on their texting or something, you know?
Exactly.
The damn, before cell phones, it was like, just make sure you had no notes in your pockets, you know, when you walk back in the house, like no phone numbers sketched on a napkin or something, right? Exactly. Cell phones changed it all. We were doomed right from the beginning with cell phones. That's for sure. But
I was talking with some guys the other day, and we were talking about how in the old days, you know, you get back on the bus at night or get on the bus in the morning, and you talk about all the chicks you banged and all that stuff, you know, and all crazy shit. Now we get on. Now they get on the bus and they talk about, I got to go get a knee replacement.
Or,
I got a bad hip. Which that guy? You remember that guy? Oh yeah, he died.
Yeah. Which vitamins you're taking with your warm milk at night? You know.
That's bus convo.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it?
2024.
Things have changed a wee bit. Well, you know, the funny thing, like I was talking to someone about this the other day on one of our podcasts, that, you know, honestly, people like you and Wiseman and Robert Roth and, you know, Kerbishley and like the, you know, Nick Jackson, the real originals of sort of the account execs in this industry and stuff, they don't make you guys anymore. So where's that going to come from? You know, like where are all the cool people going to come from? Because I don't see a lot of them coming up right now.
I see a lot of the new, it's crazy, but I see a lot of these new kids coming up.
Yeah.
You know, instead of talking to us and hearing what we have and what we've done and where we've been and where we think we're going, they're telling us how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's something, I don't know if they've been taught that at Belmont or wherever they're going, music schools. But you ain't got it until you've done it all.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, that's not the way that we're rolling. I've got a mentoring for a while, and they're really good guys, and hopefully those guys are going to be some of those that move into the slots. We're not, you know.
Yeah, let's hope so.
I'm not going anywhere for a while. I can tell you that right now.
Well, and Roth just restarted his career now with Four Wall. I was like, dude,
fucking 12 lives.
Yeah, you're turning 70 this year. What the hell are you doing starting out again? Yeah. And he goes, oh, man, I ain't stopping.
No, you're still having a good time, you know?
Exactly. I mean, why stop?
We figured out a way to, you know, I still have a good time, and there's nothing better than working on a project from the get-go and to you get to see the end product right there, you know, the final product. You know, it's like I was, we had Bette Midler back in, I think it was 2006, and I was out at rehearsals, and I'm seeing this woman walking back and forth, you know, and she's got a big bag she's carrying. She looked like she was homeless. And everybody's going, that's Bette Midler. I go, what? No way. And so I tried to stay away from the rehearsal, stay out of the way, right? And wasn't really paying attention. So I ended up going to the opening night in Chicago at the, what's the name of the fucking, the United Center, I guess is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had, she came, so her show's kick ass. Peter Morris fucking smoked it, man. Great show. She comes around the outside of a curtain, proscenium curtain, on a carousel horse. I mean, all dolled up with a fucking sailor hat on. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But I was like, holy fuck, that's the bag lady.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. That's the bag lady. Oh, my God. That's so funny. That's so funny. That's like I was on a, this is not at all related, but I'll tell you anyways. I was on a flight with my son when he was, I don't know, 5 years old or something, right?
Right.
We got upgraded to first class. We were probably going up to the house in Canada or something. And so we're sitting in what he called the big seats. Dad, are we in the big seats today? And so the plane is loading. And this large African-American woman is walking on the plane, if that's correct way to say it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But she's walking on the plane.
Spades
and,
<made.
laughs> and Jeremy, my son, starts going, Dad, Dad, Dad. And I'm like, oh, God, what's he going to say? Dad, Dad, Dad. And I go, what, Jeremy? And he goes, that's the lady from the pancake syrup. And the whole first class and the lady just cracked up. They lost it,
thank
right?
God for that.
That is so, oh, yeah, that could have gone a bad direction. Sir, you're going to have to leave the plane with your, with your bigot son. You know, you're going to have to leave the plane. Yeah. But no, everyone took it for the funny moment that it was. Well, you know, like 5 year old kids, all they know is whatever the truth is, right? Like they don't know how to lie yet. Thank God. Maybe that's when we should elect them.
They're like sponges, right?
We should elect 5 year olds to run the country. They couldn't do much worse.
I think we might have that.
Yeah, yeah. Is he already up to five?
At least right now.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get there. We'll get into some politics here today.
Yeah.
Me and Creech are going to venture into some politics. We'll have some fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So the year is looking huge for you, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking really good. We had a stellar year last year.
Yeah.
And I think we're on track to have the same thing, if not better, this year.
That's incredible. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. We're happy. We added on to part of our building, so we got more room now. And, you know, we have a rehearsal room here.
Yeah.
Got lots of power. And, you know, we've done quite a few touring rehearsals and programming here. So we
how big can you how big can you go in rehearsals?
Well, we've had, let's see, we had Styx do their whole thing here. We had Skinner do their whole show here.
Oh, wow. Those are decent-sized shows.
Yeah, Three Doors Down, and of course during COVID.
Yeah.
During the lock, every shutdown, we turned our rehearsal room into a soundstage.
Okay.
And that helped pull. One, it did a couple things. It gave a few guys a job.
Yeah.
So that they had work, you know, and they had money coming in. Then had families. And it kept it just kept the wheels rolling, kept us all in tune. But we turned it into a soundstage, and like we had the iHeart Music Festival here.
Okay. Yeah.
So they came in and filmed. We put a TV truck on the dock. Had an in-house lighting, big lighting system. You know, we had the, all the inventory was in.
Right. Yeah. Nothing out.
And then we joined up with a video company, and we joined up with Sound Image, I think is who it was in here, and it was awesome. You know, we did quite a bit there. So
yeah,
it was good.
That's cool. I mean, one of the things about our industry is you know, we're an innovative industry, and it was cool to see some of the, you know, the so-called pivots that companies did, or basically just ways to stay alive during, you know, during that friggin' disaster of COVID.
It's crazy. I hope that never happens again.
I hate to even talk about it because I'm so entirely sick of it. I hated it while it was happening. You and I obviously are relatively politically aligned, so we didn't like the way a lot of it went down.
When that was going on, Troy said to some of us that I'm working on year 24 here.
Yeah.
He said, just stay in touch with everybody. I got us covered for the year. Don't worry. Just keep rolling, keep your contacts, stay in touch with everybody. I mean, I talked to, God bless him, Steve Vidouris. I probably talked to Steve Vidouris, from Lynyrd Skynyrd every day. And we'd talk about everything from politics, you know, politics to just shooting the shit and a little bit of business in there. But that's what we did. I mean, that was the only way so when we came back, we came back in, we were somewhat on fire. You know, we had a lot of ground to make up and a lot of money to retrieve.
Yeah.
I mean, it was tough. We had 11 tours come back at the same time.
Jesus. Man.
Not small tours either, big ones.
Well, and plus, Troy also had, you know, the, what's it called, Country
Festival
Thunder
market.
Or whatever.
Oh, yeah. So,
you know,
yeah.
That gone, you know, like.
Our Barricade division is the one that really, I mean, they were, you know, wherever there was a riot going on, you know, we had the White House surrounded, we had the Capitol building, I mean, Kenosha, Seattle or Portland, we had Barricade up there all across here.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting
pivot.
Yeah,
that's a whole other one. A lot of people don't know a lot about, and I don't try not to go into too much of it, but that helped us out during that time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, upstaging made frickin' plastic face shields. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they sent them here. I think they came in with the iHeart thing.
Yeah.
I actually have one.
Another pivot that I loved was, I think it's a Nashville company, Froggy's Fog.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. So they just,
they're out of Columbia.
Okay, some genius there just said, hey, you know, 90% of the ingredients in that sanitizing stuff to wash your hands is in fog fluid. So all we got to do is kind of add a couple ingredients and we now have hand sanitizer. So they didn't need fog fluid. So they just went and converted their manufacturing to hand sanitizer and just were kicking it out by the gallons. I think I still have 9/10 of a gallon because I panicked at the beginning when everybody said you can't get hand sanitizer and I went I can. So I bought like 2 gallons of that shit and I think I still have, you know, 1.95 gallons. I never used it. I don't like it. I don't I've never really
not
used
a
it.
Weird smell to it.
No, but just in general, hand sanitizers, I just don't use it. Soap and water. Yeah, exactly. And you know, so here's another funny story. So recently I was flying back from England from one of my son's races and I was at the airport and I'm going through security and I get buzzed and taken aside and they run my bag through again and they're doing all this stuff. And a guy comes over to me and he says, I need to notify you that, you've set off the explosives, thing, you know, when they dust your bag for, and I'm like, what? And so they get into this weird little side pocket on my backpack and there's a thing of this Froggy's Fog's hand sanitizer that has been in there since the beginning of COVID. And I've never even used it, never even opened it. It's been sitting in there since the beginning. And that was what somehow set it off. And right. So then they took it out of the bag and ran it through the other machine, and it was fine. It was absolute, but it was so bizarre because I'm like, you can have it. I'd throw it away. Like, I've never even used it.
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize it was in my bag, to be honest. But yeah. So now, are you still struggling most for gear or people?
It's a more on. That's a good question. We're good on, I think we're pretty good right now on crew. We're always looking for new guys.
Yeah.
Gear, we bought a lot of gear last year.
Yeah, yeah.
As you know.
Yep. Yeah, fortunately some of it came from me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then some of it went back out through me too. So.
And not really on gear. I think we're pretty set right now. There's those few things. I mean, I'm looking for an odd thing now, but and not having a lot of luck. And we'll talk about.
Shoot me a text or something. Yeah,
you got it.
yeah, we got some odd stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Getty and I were looking at Gear Source the other day. So
yeah, I mean, it's, you know what's crazy right now is video stuff. Like, we used to struggle to get laser video projectors and screens, good screens. We have so many LED screens now and so many amazing projectors. It's crazy.
Wow.
Like, and I have no idea. Like, these are coming in organically. Listings that people are just going, I need to sell my projectors. Boom, they're putting them online. And we're like,
is this because the technology in the video world is
advancing
so quickly?
I don't think so, but, you know, I'm talking like, you know, 2-3 year old projectors, not 10 year old projectors. So, you know, it's weird. Like, it's really weird. It's just a trend we're seeing right
there
now.
There is no pride in ownership.
Yeah. No, it's totally true.
That comes along with it.
Totally, totally true. Yeah. So, you know, but most companies that I talk to are really still struggling for people. And, you know, I that's going to keep happening until everyone can figure out how to, you know, sort of open up the floodgates and bring a lot more people into our industry. And unfortunately, doing that by overpaying people for the most part. So,
well, that's just it. That's another, this is something that we talk about often is after COVID, a lot of these road guys, they figured out, hey, man, this isn't such a secure, it's already not secure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now it proved to them that it's really not secure. So their wages have gone up.
Yeah.
You know, crew chiefs aren't just making $3,200, $3,500 a week. Now they're making $4,000, $4,200 a week.
Yeah.
Plus per diem.
Yeah. You know what? On one hand,
they're
good
really
for them.
Worth their grant, worth their salt. You know what
I mean? Good for them. You know, it just like it takes though an industry I think that already had some really difficult accounting, difficult finance problems, and it makes it tougher. And it all comes down to who's paying that tab, right? And if it's, you know, the artist, you know, so be it. If it's but it usually ends up trickling down to the end consumer who's paying for the ticket. And he's now paying $80 for a $60 ticket.
Well, that's going to be that's a whole nother one. I mean, how much discretionary money is going to be available for people to out there to buy tickets for these shows?
Creech, I've been saying that for 3 years.
Which ticket are you going to buy?
I've been saying that for 3 years, and it just keeps going up, and they keep selling. You know, I don't get it. You know, it's just like, go try buying a brand new Porsche. Not that I do that, but, you know, Porsche.
I'd love to have a new.
No, but the GT3 RS, I mean, it's already like a $400,000 car or whatever. Yeah. They're selling for $250 over sticker.
God almighty.
And one of my buddies is a sales manager at a Porsche dealership, and he's like, I could sell 20 of them tomorrow if I could get them. You know, he's like, every allocation we get, $250 over sticker. He said used ones are going for $180 over sticker right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what.
It's an insane market right now. There's so much liquid cash floating around. You know,
where is it coming from? I ain't got it. I mean, I got money in the bank. I'm sitting good.
Yeah.
But where is, I mean,
you and I need to run for, we need to run for Senate so we can go in and pick up a $175,000 job and make $150 million. Make $150 million. No, it's the knowledge that they get for stocks. It's the insider trading stuff that,
yeah.
And it's this isn't a left versus right thing because they both do it. Republicans,
no, they both do it,
and Democrats are both doing it. They go, you know, somebody says, hey, you know, there's a problem with this mineral or whatever. There's going to be a shortage,
right,
and we need to go fight a war in Yemen or something to get more of it. And so somebody goes, oh, there's a shortage on this mineral. I'm going to go invest in that mineral, right?
Yep.
It's that blatant. It's that blatant. You
oh,
know,
yeah, or, right in front of us. We're totally every day getting ripped off by the United States government.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's gotten to a point where, you know, like I have friends in and from Ukraine. I have coders that work for me that are in the Ukraine. Doesn't mean I want to support the government. You know,
no.
You know, you guys have a voting problem. You've got a corrupt guy running your country. That's your problem. Yeah. That ain't my problem. You know, I'm sorry. But,
well, you know, God created the weathermen to make the politicians look honest. So,
yeah. They can change their mind occasionally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, now that we've sort of touched on it a little bit, I guess we'll venture in. We'll dive into the water, the deep end. But, I mean, we're in for a crazy year, you know? And
I think so. It's going to be fun. Put your seatbelt on.
Fun, yes and no. Like, you and I remember really well how ugly it got, you know, especially on social media. And, you know, there was a point in the last election where I literally shut off Facebook for a couple of months because I couldn't take.
I remember that.
I mean, it was toxic.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't take it. Like, people who are friends of mine were saying, if you vote for this person, defriend me now. I never want to speak to you again.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. Like,
that's so
when did this happen? I couldn't give a shit who you vote for. Like, do I think you're dumb sometimes for the decisions you're making? Sure, but I don't care. I'll still go have drinks with you. I'm not going to defriend anyone because of who they vote for. Couldn't care less.
No. But I don't think that sometimes these people are thinking straight. I just, they don't realize. Listen, the media has done a really good job in curving people a different direction from what's really going on. They hide a lot of stuff. And I don't think that everybody, Fox is not the answer either.
No.
Because they're all full of shit.
I hate to say it, but I get most of my news from Twitter now. I really do, because I don't trust anything. I don't trust anything. At least on Twitter, I can create an algorithm for myself that's got a mix of left and right and truth, and I know which people are lying. It's pretty easy to tell, and I get rid of the bots as fast as I can. And, you know, generally I get my news headlines in a half hour of Twitter first thing in the morning, and that covers me for the day. You know, I'm good. I rarely watch Fox anymore.
I like Just the News. That's that guy's pretty square. He's a good reporter.
Yeah.
He's no bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're all of them. You know, I don't think that everybody's getting a straight answer. And listen, you think letting 16 million people into our country that are illegal, you have no idea where they're coming. You think that that's okay?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Well, you know what? You listen to Rogan, I think you told me. So,
you
know, I've always liked Rogan, especially through COVID and all that stuff, not because he was common sense, but because he wasn't hard left and he wasn't hard right. He's actually more left than anything, right?
That's kind of me. Like we talked about that. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah, you and I are similar. I mean, you know, we want systems in place and government in place to take care of, you know, roads and some things like that. But do I think, you know, Google or you know, Tesla or somebody could do a better job with healthcare than the government is, probably.
Probably, you know, yeah.
Probably some big
the
tech company.
Needs to stay out of that.
Yeah.
Completely.
But
have too much government.
Yeah. So I like Rogan because he's generally pretty neutral. And I just listened this morning to him and Brett Weinstein. He's
okay.
A pretty smart guy. And, you know, they're both left liberal, lifetime Democrat voters, right?
Sure.
And Brett Weinstein was saying that to my friends who are Democrats, you cannot vote for the Democratic Party this year. And he said, I hope that there's an opportunity for RFK because he thinks that RFK is a great answer, which I do
yes.
too. You know, I'm a Republican technically, but I would vote for RFK. I think the guy's brilliant.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And, but the thing is, he said, you no matter who you vote for, you cannot vote for the Democratic Party this year,
no.
which
no.
basically is a vote for Trump at that point, right? And
yeah.
And it's just because of all of this stuff that they're doing in daylight, you know, like they're just doing some really, really corrupt, crazy stuff. The border included.
Right in front of us.
The border included. You know, the border, this is really bad, this border thing. It's really,
really bad.
Really bad. Like this has gone beyond the humanitarian side of things where it's
yeah.
like these people, they're just trying to escape these terrible places. That ain't the agenda. No,
that
right
ain't
now.
Going on right now.
That ain't the agenda.
No.
It, I mean, really bad people are coming in. I'm sure some good ones are sort of strewn in there too, but some really bad
people.
This
is going
to
do another thing that nobody is thinking about right now. But you bring all those people into these separate or all the different counties, all the different cities, all the different states.
Yeah.
It changes the amount of delegates. It changes the amount of representatives you're going to have running the government.
Yeah.
It changes that whole playing field.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks about that kind of stuff.
Well, the Democrats do. The Democrats are really smart. They're really smart. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. It's just, you know, like that's one thing that's infuriating when you follow Twitter or whatever. You get these guys on the Republican Party who I respect. I mean, there's some guys that I really, you know, Ted Cruz is great and Jim Jordan I really like. And
I like him.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really good guys on that side, but they're always talking tough and they never do anything. You know, it's
exactly.
like it's like we have this guy red-handed for impeachment, but then they never do anything. You know, it's the Democrats have nothing and they impeach you.
You know?
Like they got nothing. They got no proof. They got no smoking gun. They got no crime. And they put you in jail.
Exactly.
They just do what they
want. But we talked about it too, you know, back in the old days, the Republicans and the Democrats, they all wanted the same thing. They argued and bickered about how to get to that central neutral position. And that's not happening anymore.
Yeah,
not
it's so extreme now.
Now what they're doing is they're making... Huh?
It's all so extreme now. It's so extreme.
Totally. That's exactly it. And they're making enemies... out of our friends become enemies because of what they're doing. And it's fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's the part that I really disliked during the whole COVID thing was friends, people who I really respected in our industry. I couldn't follow them anymore because I couldn't believe the things that they were saying at times. You know, they were just so hateful and miserable and nasty. And it was like, what, because I choose to live my life this way, like you're
right.
saying I need to basically accept everything, but you don't accept even who I vote for or whether or not I want to wear a mask on an airplane or something, you know, like.
No, Jack.
So choices work one way, but choices don't work the other way sometimes. And that's challenging.
Like, no.
Reality for me is I truly don't care who anyone votes for, who they pray to, who they sleep with. I could not care less. I really don't
care.
True story. You're a good person or a bad person. That's it.
That's right. That's right. We all want to be good people. So, I mean, everybody's just got to figure it out. I mean, maybe if Trump gets in there, he'll tone it down. He'll, you know.
Nah.
He's got too big of an ego, but all of them have an ego.
Well, he's also got an agenda to clean some shit up now, too. Like, he got screwed pretty good. Like, imagine what this guy went through, what he goes through on a daily basis.
Thing.
Yeah.
He was painted to be this super bad guy, and now everything that they've thrown at him just seems to.
Well, here's the thing, Creech. I was just thinking about this. So I wonder, like, as bad as the election has been the previous two times with Trump, this time might be different because they've tried everything and they haven't exposed any of the corruption that they all just automatically said and believed. And this guy, he's a Russian, you know, spy. He's a plant from Russia. He's doing Russian business with. And so they tried like crazy to get that. And now the news is basically that was all completely a setup. Like he said, you know, it was a hoax.
Like he said.
Yeah.
When he said, I said to my wife, did you just hear what Trump said about when he talked about being wiretapped or recorded?
Yeah.
He goes, he's full of shit. I go, okay, you think so? Sure enough.
Yeah.
He was right. Everything that guy says.
So I think that this year, the election cycle might be a little more peaceful for all of us because, you know, Trump is not what they made him out to be. Is he a dickhead and nasty and a horrible man sometimes? Yes, absolutely. You know, I don't love the guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Right. But you know, the other thing is the Democrats, it's so blatant, the bad things that they've done at this point, that I don't think anyone can fully support that and say,
no,
you know, but Biden's great. We need to vote for greatness. You can't say that.
Yeah.
You just can't say that. I'm sorry. You can't say that. Yeah. Yeah, you're just making yourself look dumb if you say that. That's just like me saying, but Trump is a really good guy, so you should vote for him.
Yeah.
No, that's not why you would vote for him either. So, yeah,
well,
I hope we all get along this year. I know, you know, this is the most politics I've spoken publicly in our industry probably since all of this began. You know, I just don't do it. I avoid it like crazy.
Well, to all my friends that are watching this and listening to this, you know, you can't tell me that when your wife, I mean, in my household, I do the grocery shopping. Cause my wife's on her feet all day long. Like some days she sees 50 patients in a span of 4 hours.
Okay.
So I try to do what I can. I do all the cooking. I do all the grocery shopping.
Wow.
And
come move in with me. I'll take you, Creech.
You're not as good looking as my wife.
It's 2024. It's 2024. We can get married. It's Florida, you know? You do all the cooking and grocery shopping and you make a good living. Jesus Christ, I could finally retire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel it when I go to the grocery store. So at first I thought, you know, okay, this is the inflation hitting us. But now I think they got us fucking paying the high dollar, and now the grocery stores are jumping in on the bandwagon.
Everybody.
Too.
So true.
You guys ought to wear it. I told the girl the other day, you ought to wear a mask. She said, why should I be wearing a mask? Because you're fucking robbing me.
You know, so Tucker put out like a 1 minute video, I think yesterday or this morning or something. I saw it this morning. But he is in a grocery store in Moscow, and he was there with his staff, and they were buying the groceries for the week that they were going to be there, right?
Right.
And he said, you know, in our heads, we thought, okay, it's going to be about $450 or $400 or something. And they get to the cashier and they pay, and they did the conversion, and it was like $120. And he said it was then that I realized how badly we're being fleeced. You know, we are being fleeced in America. And he said, I became radicalized when I was standing there at the cashier in this Russian supermarket buying the exact same products that I would buy at home for four times as much money. And here I am in this place that's supposedly corrupt and terrible and horrible and violent. And then he takes a video also in the subway. And it's beautiful. There's art and there's all this beautiful old architecture. And it's clean as can be.
Is that interview out yet?
It's out. Oh, the Putin interview?
Yeah.
That came out last week.
Oh, yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
Like I said, I try not to pay
it's
attention.
It's got like 200 million views.
Wow.
I'll shoot you the link.
There's a reason I take lisinopril in the morning.
Yeah, it's got 200 million views. But no, this one, of the video of the subway, I was like, wow. Like,
I've seen those pictures.
And but I mean, people are all nice and happy and well dressed, and they're you know, nobody's fighting. No, there's no people, homeless people laying down in the gutters or anything. You know, I mean, it's really quite alarming. And you know, I don't know. Like I'm in LA next week, and I'm kind of dreading it because I haven't been there in a while since before there were tents and you know, people shitting on sidewalks and stuff.
Nice.
I'm not looking forward to seeing all that stuff. No. I used to love LA.
I've avoided it. I've managed to. I mean, my time's coming. I feel it, but
yeah.
I have no desire.
I'm there for a board meeting next week. I have no choice. I got to be there. So, just for a couple days, you know, and I'll go out and see some friends or something too. But
right.
Yeah, I used to really love going to LA, and honestly, yesterday I was trying to think, when was the last time I was there, and it's been years. It's been probably 4 or 5 years, I don't know, before COVID.
The last time I was on the West Coast, I got COVID.
Yeah.
I went to the NAMM show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, no, I'm never going back to that NAMM show again. I don't care. I don't care if fucking... the whatever Parnellis were there or not, I could give a rat's ass, because that's a bunch of bullshit too. Whatever his name is, I can't remember the guy's name.
Terry Lowe.
Yeah. It's all about who buys advertisement. And, yeah.
I can't comment. I can't confirm nor deny. No, I've not been a Terry Lowe fan. Him and I do not get along. I will say that publicly. We've not gotten along in a long time. But I wouldn't personally go as far as saying, you know, that he's basing awards on ads, because I don't know that to be true. Yeah. So.
Well, I can.
I also don't know it to be false. Yeah, I don't know that it's false either. Yeah, no, I don't know.
There's a short list of a few people in this business that when I've retired, I'm going to go, fuck you.
Yeah.
So there's a short list.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's funny because you were on this podcast in 2019, and I remember you saying the exact same thing then. You said there's, you know, I try to behave, but there's a short list that I keep, and you know, one day I'm going to retire and I'm going to call everyone on that list and tell them what I think.
Yeah. Well, Troy, I ain't retire anytime soon, because Troy told me, he said, he's a creechy. He calls me creechy.
Yeah.
He says, you ain't going anywhere until either I die or you die. So I might be stuck here. And I enjoy
it's a race.
I'm taken well care of.
Yeah, you're in a race. So. Yeah, no, you should be taken well care of. You know, you're one of that handful of guys that I was talking about earlier. You know, there are not so many of you guys, and you know, I'm sure somebody will come up to replace all of you at some point, because the industry will go on, of course, and it has to. But yeah, I mean, you know,
just bring big shoes and big feet. Yeah, you know, that's what it's going to take.
Well, it's like, you know, Wiseman, when we were talking at dinner on Friday about the party he was going to at Trump's, right. I said, you know, you're going to have a blast. And he goes, yep, and I'm going to walk out of there with the RNC convention. and I said, I don't think Trump is going to want to sit down and talk business with you. And he said, no, but somebody will.
You know, somebody will.
Wiseman's a sales guy.
I'll tell you what, man. I love John Wiseman.
Yeah.
He could sell you a car without wheels and an engine, and he'd get top dollar for it.
Yes, he could.
He is the greatest sales guy.
Yeah. He's always been really good, and he's always
funny
been
too.
He's always been a tough competitor though, like, because him and I have always been really good friends. But when we were both at High End Systems together, and I left, and I took a tour that was ours, you know, at High End, but it was my person. It was my my deal, my designer, my everything, right? And right. So I took it with me, and Wiseman called me up and says, "I know what you did." And I said, "I said nothing different than you would do." And he goes, "Lose my fucking number." And so I said, "Okay, you know, you want to be like that, John? Okay." And I don't know, probably a couple months later, he called me and he was like, "Hey, what are you up to?" You know, like nothing ever happened. You know, I'm a wimp when it comes to that stuff because I remember it forever. But he just like, you know, that was just part of the, you know, I was in a battle. You know, I said what I had to say. It's funny.
Well, I remember when he was an account manager at Shoco Very Light, right, when I worked there. And I was there was a show, I don't know what show it was, at Reunion Arena. And he's the kind of guy who drives right down. He's drive that, he had a badass BMW.
Yeah.
And he came down the ramp and I was walking up and he goes, "Creech, jump in." You know, of course, that was back in the day, right? When
you knew what you were jumping into.
Yeah, right on the console. He did a couple big gaggers. And near the downtown Dallas. And then he comes back in, drops me off, and he goes about his own thing. Next morning, I'm on my way to work down 35, you know, heading to Governor's Row, mm-hmm. or Regal Row. And there's Wiseman off on the side of the road, wrecked. At BMW.
No way. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Like, oh, God. He had a brand new one right away.
That is insane.
I'm sure he talked his way right into the new one.
Oh, my God. That guy, man. He's got some stories.
Good times.
He's got some stories. He's definitely got some stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember he was doing a show in Miami with I don't remember what it was, but I don't remember what the whole event was, but it was like Shania Twain and the Backstreet Boys and Elton John. It was kind of a weird mix of artists, but he called me and said, "You know, I'm doing this show. You got to come down and hang out." And I said, "Yeah, sure." And it was at Bayfront Park in Miami, and there's a dock right there.
Oh boy.
And he goes, "Yeah. Why don't you bring your boat down and dock it?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." And I said, "Maybe we can go do some diving." And he goes, "Yeah, I can't do that." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because when I was still doing blow and stuff, I loaned out my, I got really high and loaned out my dive equipment, and I can't remember who I lent it to."
Oh, my God.
So.
Oh, never would I do something like that.
No. No. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it a whole bunch at dinner and stuff, because I don't think even his wife had heard some of these stories, and she was having a blast. She was loving it. She was like, "Oh, boy."
I bet she knew that. Her mouth was open the whole time.
Well, and my girlfriend, she's British and was very properly raised and stuff, and she doesn't curse.
All right.
She doesn't drink. She doesn't. Oh, wow. She's never touched drugs or tobacco or anything, right?
How long you been with her?
6 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
And no, it's weird. We're like definitely, you know, the beauty and the beast in more ways than one, I think.
That's
it works, you know. I mean, it works. I don't know that it would always work. Like, sometimes you got to have like people, but, and every once in a while she'll try and have a glass of wine and she'll drink about a quarter of a glass of wine and she'll be like, "Ooh, I think I'm drunk." So she just doesn't even really try to drink, but she was hearing some of these Wiseman stories and she was just like,
"Maybe she will have, another glass of wine."
"You did how much?" You know, because I mean, I think at the height of it, he was doing like a half an ounce of blow a day or more.
Fuck. Oh, my God.
Every day.
Oh, yeah. We used to have a smoke in the break room at Very Light, and he'd come in there and sit down and hang out with us, right? And you just look at him, he's like, "Yeah, he'd been partying the night before."
Yeah, you're looking right through him.
Go, go, go.
Yeah. It's amazing, though, how he could perform at such a high level for the most part, right? Until it got real bad. Yeah. Like, when he was at LSD, I think it was over at that point. Like, something needed to give, you know? Like, I remember Nick Jackson telling me one time that you know, it, like there was a big meeting or something. It was on Wednesday and they were meeting with a big client or a manager or somebody, and Wiseman didn't show up. And so Nick kept calling him and calling him and calling him and calling him. It's like noon or something, right? And he's calling him and calling him and calling him. And finally Wiseman answers and he goes, "Nick, what? Why are you waking me up?" And he says, "Because you got to come to work." And he goes, "Why? It's Sunday." And he goes, "John, it's fucking Wednesday." "Oh, I'll be right there."
Yeah. That's hailed out.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. The true definition of being hailed out.
No kidding, right? Yeah, he was a mess. But thank God the guy got it right, you know. Got it right, and he's had a whole nother life since then. So good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's having a good time.
He was telling me he just got another BMW. I think he said he got an Alpina. A new
Alpina.
Oh my
God.
So that's a nice one.
That's a really nice one.
Yeah, that's a nice car. Fuck. Yeah. He likes the cars.
I do too. I mean, I have a Porsche and a Mercedes, but my son's big on the BMW. Of course, he works. My youngest Connor. He's he works for Kennedy Performance here in Nashville, and they do strictly nothing but BMW.
Oh, really?
And high performance BMW. And they have a racing team, so he gets to go out. And he's into taking pictures, just like me. And he takes them of cars, nice cars. I mean, like sports car, you know, between everything from Mazda, those cool looking Mazdas on up to, you know,
whatever.
Porsche. He worked at Porsche for a while too, which is, he had a blast there. Well, it's where he learned what he's doing. Now he's a service writer. So,
cool. Good, man. Good for him.
Yeah. We've got another one. We've got another one in the Marines.
Yeah.
He's a Marine. He's in North Carolina. And then of course, Nate, is in, I was telling you earlier, I tried to tell him, you know, maybe you guys ought to go into the Coast Guard. I have a friend, Ed Wanabo. He was in the, you know, with Kenny Chesney. He was in the Coast Guard. And they stationed him over in Maui. And he said, "All I did was painted buoys and watched for drug smugglers the whole time I was in the Coast Guard."
Yeah.
And so I told the, and they're, of course, "No, we want to shoot the bad guy. We want to shoot guns. They don't have big guns." I go, "The Coast Guard's got big guns. They got real big guns. They're part of the Navy." And they went about and did their own thing. You know, the one went into the Marines and the other one went into the Army. So he was down at Fort Benning. He was getting transferred. And he calls me and goes, "Hey, Pops, you'll never guess where I'm getting transferred to." And I'm like, "No, I won't." He goes, "Hawaii." I went, "I guess you didn't need Hawaii after all, for fuck's sake."
Wow.
He's been over there, man. He's loving it over there.
Nice. Good
for
him,
man. He's getting shipped off to the Philippines.
So let me ask you, like, Ranger. I've always wondered, you know, because my son's just a goofball race car driver. He would never have the balls to join the military. But as a parent of kids in the military, does it make you feel even more angry towards some of the decisions that get made in government, you know, to go and fight in places that you couldn't care less about, for example?
Well, number one, you're proud. You're always, regardless of what they're doing, even if they're fuck ups, you got to be proud of your kids. They're part of you.
Yeah.
I would hope that the United States government would fund the military to provide all of them, not just our kids, but all of them, the proper equipment, the technology, and all of that, provide enough money for the military to provide our kids with that safety. That's a safety net right there.
Yeah.
It's good. You know, like Cole, probably when he gets out of the Marines, which is going to be soon enough, I don't think he'll stay in there. He'll take go and do the GI Bill. So there are those cool things for that. But yeah, and then of course you worry about them. You know, I can tell you that in the Marines. So Connor was home one day, and Cole was home on Liberty. I think it was during Thanksgiving. So I said, "Cole, tell Connor about your day." You know, that they get up at 4:30 in the morning and they run to breakfast.
Jesus.
And he eats like this, protecting his food, because they can come and take it away from you at any time. And they can come, they'll come in sometimes while you're eating and go, go outside in the pit, right outside the door, and fight so-and-so. Just fight them. So then he gets so after he's done eating breakfast, he runs back to the barracks. He's got about 30, 40 minutes to himself. Then they pack up the rucksacks with, he's a mortar guy. So he's in the infantry. So they pack his rucksack with mortars, and the kid rucks 10 miles.
Wow.
10 miles. And they dig a hole, set up their mortars, shoot them off, cover the hole back up, and ruck back. By that time, Jesus. It's almost dinner time.
Yeah.
It's like, there's your fucking day.
Yeah.
So I said to Connor, I said, Connor, next time you think you're having a bad day, think about him.
Yeah.
Think about what he's doing.
That's crazy.
But then you got Nate on the other side. He's stationed over in Hawaii, and every picture I see, I'll take that back. A lot of the pictures I see are of him enjoying the waterfalls.
As he should, you know.
But he went through some bullshit too. He went through going through Ranger school is not something easy.
No,
it's not for just
that's not a party.
That's what sets them all apart, man. You know, Rangers lead the way. And but they're all good kids, you know, all of them.
Yeah.
So when I remarried, I got those boys, and then I got two other daughters as well. So I have Caitlin, who's here. She's works at Vanderbilt. She's involved in at the main campus of the hospital.
Cool.
She's got her master's in public health. You talk to her, she's going to tell you she wants to run a hospital.
Okay.
And she will one day, I promise you.
Yeah.
And then Brooke is a teacher in Virginia. And then Faith, the youngest, is in North Carolina at Belmont Abbey, and she plays lacrosse, or she's on lacrosse scholarship.
Oh, cool. So,
and the big plan that we've been talking about, as soon as she's done, Tanya and I are going to come back down to Florida, and I'll still be doing the PGP thing, but because she works at Vanderbilt, my wife, they help pay what the scholarship stuff doesn't pay, which is pretty convenient, pretty helpful.
That's very helpful.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So she's got two more years. So, you know, we'll see you in 2 years down there.
Yeah.
Maybe we can race boats.
Yeah. That'll be fun. I'm trying to get the hell out of here. You know, I spend half a year up in Canada now at my place in the mountains, and I really like it there. Like, it's just, you know, I guess it's age because it's
it
a slower pace.
I mean, I grew
not in the winter.
In Florida.
Not in the winter. In the winter, I like Florida a whole lot.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's a people thing. Like, it's, you know, the people in Florida are more and more from New York now because, mm-hmm. like, since COVID, it's been really just New Yorkers are coming in as fast as they can get here. And
right.
Which is nothing wrong. I love New Yorkers, but it's just a faster pace of life. You've got to be a little more on guard. You've got to pay a lot more attention. Like up in Canada,
yeah.
you could leave your door unlocked for days and never anything going to happen. Like my friends,
it's beautiful there.
My friend's got a beautiful Mercedes and he leaves his keys in it in the driveway. Never takes his keys. And everyone in town knows that his keys are in the car. Yeah. He's never had a problem, you know? So it's just a small town attitude. Sometimes it's frustrating because, like, you're in line at the grocery store and the lady in front of you is like, oh, Betsy, how are you doing? How are the kids? What about the grandkids? And I got, like, three items, and I'm just like, come on, lady. I just want to pay. Get the hell out of here. Betsy's fine. Go. You know? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's even funny. Like, when I'm driving up there, I have to force myself to not be a dick, you know, because, like, here, if you're going to change lanes, you just change lanes. You don't signal. If you signal, they close the gap instantly. You know, you're never going to get in if you signal. So you just got to shoot into an opening when you get a shot, right? So in Canada, if you signal, everyone just backs up and makes an opening for you. It's just entirely the opposite.
Yeah.
Entirely opposite, right? And like my girlfriend, every time I go to walk across a street in Canada, she grabs me and she's like, wait, you know, cause she's from England and England is even worse than here. Where as far as like in England, pedestrians don't have any right of way. You know, cars will run over you.
No.
Cars will run over you. Absolutely.
Wait till the guy's legs open up.
Yeah. And, but like in Canada, you know, if you even are getting near a corner, everyone stops to get ready in preparation of you wanting to cross the street.
Is your place in Canada like a ski area?
You know, Banff? Like, Banff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you are?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful there.
Yeah,
oh,
it is nice.
My God.
Yeah, it's
really nice.
It's really nice. I mean, nice. I bought it 20 years ago, you know. I built it 20 years ago. So
okay.
I probably couldn't afford to buy it today. You know, it's gone up so much. Like, you know.
It has down where you are, too. I mean,
yeah, it's insane.
My parents are probably rolling in their grave over what the property and the house that we had in South Miami was when they sold it to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miami in general is just going nuts right now because the tech business in Miami is just booming, you know. So you've got all these.
Is that where the dough? Is that where a lot of the dough's coming from? Is the tech business
in Miami? In up where I am, I'm in Wellington in Palm Beach, and it's more just regular people moving in from New York. They sell a condo in New York for like $2.5 million, like a 1,400-foot condo for $2.5-3 million, and they come down here and they buy a 4,000-square-foot place on the Intercoastal, you know, and still have money left over, and they're like,
they
still
have money left
here.
Over. That's right.
Yeah, and they don't pay sales tax, you know, income tax.
Here in Nashville, these people from California are moving here, and they're like, wow, we got a lot of extra money, and
yeah,
you know, but and the home prices are. You know, I mean, I've got quite a bit of equity now in our home.
It gets tempting though, right? Like when, you know, just using.
Well, where are you going to go?
Well, that's the problem, you know, like somebody comes and says, I'll pay you 3 times what you paid for your house.
Yeah,
great.
Okay.
Then what do I do? You know,
yeah,
like then I'm in the market now for a house that I can't afford. Right. So it's crazy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nuts.
So, you know, I went through divorce around the same time my girlfriend did, and she had a small rental house in South Florida.
Right.
And because we were going to start spending half the year up in Canada, you know, we had a conversation. We were like, hey, we could go try and buy something bigger right now and, you know, move in together. I was renting a place at the time, and she said, no, I got this place. It's paid for. It's right there in Wellington. It's small, but we're only going to spend 6 months of the year there. What do you think? And I was like, you know what? And both our kids are like, they should be out of the house by now, but they're not. And
no.
So they're on their way out. But, you know, you give them very small space, and eventually they'll just be like, Dad, I got no room for anything. Good, move out.
Move out.
You know? So...
I'm going to try that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we keep talking about it, but it's like, why would we even bother? You know, we've got enough here. It's big enough. It's good. It's fine. And, you know, then we go up to the place in Canada, and in Canada, we got loads of room, and it's just like the views are unbelievable out both ends of the house. It's crazy nice. It's crazy.
I'm just not a snow. I'm not into the snow. I'm not a fan of being cold.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting by the fireplace, it's great to look at.
Yeah.
But
eventually you got to get outside and go to the grocery store or whatever, right?
Yeah, right.
And then it's like, holy shit.
Now, I would rather be sweating and having to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I'm with you. I get it. I completely understand. You know, for me, again, it's people and lifestyle and stuff like that that I'm more attracted to. Plus, my family's up there. So whenever we're in Canada, I'm constantly doing things with friends that I haven't really been that connected to in 25, 30 years and with my family. So I don't know. It's nostalgic. It's fun. I like it. So
family down in Florida swims around the water, and they got teeth and they got tails.
I was going to say, so I want to talk about this because, you know, I've always been a fan of your photography and, you know, some of those pictures where you can like, you can count the cavities in their teeth and stuff, right? Like, you can see what they had for lunch based on the stuff that's in their teeth. And you're getting really close to these sharks and taking some unbelievable pictures and stuff. And
I have a lot of fun doing it.
What got you into that, though? Like, where'd that passion come from? Was it accidental or?
Well, I started scuba diving in 1975. My dad said, "Hey, as soon as you turn, I think it was 13 or whatever, we're going to get certified."
Yeah.
I went, "All right." So we went to the classes and all, and I went through them, and I finally got certified. And over the years, I upped my certifications. I'm a rescue diver, swift water diver, underwater photographer, advanced open water. But so I did all that stuff, and I was on a trip over in the Bahamas. And just so the Bahamas is, if you want to see sharks, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
They're protected in the Bahamas. So, and I think they know that. But
they're protected
anyway,
how? By the government? Or
the back of the boat.
They're protected by the government or because of all the little harbors
government.
And
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, you cannot fish for sharks in the Bahamas.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh. And the reefs there are in really good shape. And what makes a really, makes a reef in really good shape is shark population. Because sharks eat the dead, the dying, and the diseased. They're the cleaners of the ocean.
Right.
But I'm sitting in the back of the boat, and we were getting ready to go down on a shark dive, and I'm looking over the side, and they're swimming at the surface. I'm like, oh, fuck, man. How are we getting in the water?
Yeah. Right. That's hilarious.
The guy looks at me, goes, and it was just me and another person, right? I remember the guy's name is Fred. So Fred says, don't worry about anything. These sharks have been on every Discovery Channel show, every, you know, natural, all the animal shows, Animal Planet. It'll be just fine. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, okay. And you're going to go down there with a bucket of food?
That's hilarious.
So we get down on the bottom, and there's these rocks. So you get down on the bottom with your knees, put the rock between your knees, and it kind of helps you overweight it a bit. And he comes swimming down with this little bucket. It was like a thing you get at the bank. It's just a bit larger, right? You know, you put your deposit in.
Yeah.
It's filled with food, sets it out in the middle of this arena. These sharks just come flying in, and they were amazing. Every time that back tail moved, they'd move 6 feet or more.
Jesus.
They were just majestic. And I was like, fuck, this is cool, yeah. Right? And I'm taking it. I had a little Instamatic kind of camera in a housing, and I'm taking some pictures. They were crap, but it was cool. So now move forward a bit. I'm still diving. So I went for my birthday. It was 2009. Went out with Jim Abernathy, who is based out of West Palm Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
He's world renowned.
Yeah.
He is call him the Shark Whisperer. He taught me how to take pictures, how to get close, what to do, what to look for. Amazing guy. Lots of energy. He's very wildlife. He's all about wildlife conservation.
Yeah.
But I went on this trip, and there was a shark out there named Emma. And Emma is 16 feet. I got a picture of her right here.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know if you can see it.
Yeah.
But that's actually me on that trip. That's the first time.
Wow.
So I went for my birthday on
that's
that
trip. That's a big-ass shark for your first time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Were you, like, shitting yourself during that picture?
No, because I was over that fear.
Jeez.
I was completely over that fear from that one dive. I was just interested in him. And she's big. So anyway, we've got the bait down there. And the one thing he told me, he says, you need to do a couple things. You're going to always pay attention to what's going on. Your head's on a spindle. Always. Those big tiger sharks, there's not just one of them in the water.
Yeah.
There's five or six of them at the same time. The one you're focusing on, just the one in front of you, who might be off a ways, there might be another one coming from behind you. So for a long time, I put a bicycle mirror on my camera gear, because now I can shoot the big, huge thing, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
So I put a mirror on her so I could see behind me what was going on, because they do come in. They're very sneaky. So I did that. That was the first trip that I did, and that was when I was. That was the first time I was around these big tiger sharks. And he said, also, you want to get an award-winning picture. The key to that is get as close as you can. I'm thinking, okay, all right. I got a picture of one right on my mask.
Yeah.
So that's what got me in. That was the final bit. So now I've been to Tiger Beach now probably, I guess, 16 times. Jeez. In fact, I was there last June, and we had five at one time, and they were all big, big sharks. And, you know, they're just cool. And then there's all the other shit that's going on around behind.
Yeah.
You got lemon sharks swimming around. You got reef sharks swimming around. You got an occasional bull shark. Right now it's hammerhead season over in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
They come inshore. So... there's hammerheads. You got all that going on. So it's
my very first night dive that I did ever was in Key West. And, you know, I wasn't into it as much as you're into it. Like I had my own boats and I would anchor to a buoy out off Fort Lauderdale Beach or something. Right. And just go down to a reef. And every once in a while I'd find a wreck, go out to a wreck or something. But I didn't do it a lot. I did it. I don't know. I did quite a bit of diving, but I never got to where I was like, oh, I got to go to, you know, the Galapagos or something. Like I never got like that. Right. I just never really got the bug. But anyways, I was in Key West and I don't remember who I was with, one of my friends or something. And he wanted to do a night dive. I was like, okay, cool. I'll do it. And so we book a night dive with an operator, I think. Or did we do it on our own? I can't remember. Anyways, it was just him and I, though, so it had to be just on our own, or maybe it was a chartered boat that we did. Anyways, we go out, and the moon is so bright that night, so you could see it was almost like daylight under the water, right? And we're probably in 18 or 20 feet of water, and it's just a sand bottom. And all of a sudden, we're swimming along, you know, looking for something, a reef, anything, right?
Right.
And we're swimming along, and all of a sudden it goes really dark.
Oh.
And I was like, that's weird. And then, you know, I'm kind of nudging him, and I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, I don't know. And, you know, didn't think nothing of it. But then you're starting to see it's dark, but it's kind of moving. And I'm like, what the hell? So I just rolled over and looked up, and there were like, I don't know how many, 50, 60 hammerheads.
I mean,
it was just an insane number of hammerhead sharks above us, right?
Oh, and
I was,
God.
I think I probably held my breath for a minute. I was just like, what the hell? Like, nothing you can do at that point except just, you know, lay there with my arms crossed, trying not to move too much and just watching them, right? And they wanted nothing to do with us. They were just, you know, looking around for whatever they were looking for. But
oh, yeah, that's what they do. That's what.
I was always, when I was on reefs and stuff, like in Fort Lauderdale, occasionally a reef shark or something would not, or a, you know, occasionally a tiger shark, but usually it was reef sharks. And they were usually pretty small, 6 or 8 feet. Mm-hmm. And, but I was always more concerned with the barracudas. You know, those ones, they're a little more unpredictable and a little more aggressive at times.
They're kind of weird. They just, because they're just sitting there looking at you the whole time, right?
And their mouth is open. Their mouth is open, too. They sit with their mouth open, you know, and it's just, like, intimidating.
That's a good word for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Intimidating. Because they're not going to do it. As soon as you swim towards them, they're gone, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, unless you got something in your hand, you know, like if you're grabbing lobster or, like, spearfishing, you know, if you're spearfishing and you've got a fish on a spear, they will come after that fish. And if they accidentally hit your hand instead, you know, they'll take off a couple fingers or something. They're nasty, those freaking barracudas.
I was trying to get a picture one time of a lionfish. And the guy that was with, one of the guys that was with me, he had a gig with him, and he was going to get this lionfish. And I go, stop. I want to get a picture of him. So I'm snapped. You know, I'm like, I rapid fire when I shoot, right?
Yeah.
Because every time they're always moving some, especially with sharks.
Well, the shot might be the 112th one you take. That's the shot, right? So, rapid fire.
My hard drive, so I've got so many, I've got thousands and thousands.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah.
Over 100,000.
Yeah.
But And I do a lot of weeding out. But as soon as I got the picture, he gigged that fucking lionfish. And then the next thing you know, there's reef sharks all over.
Oh, us. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We won't do that again.
No. Have you ever had a moment like where it was
a couple times where I was doing a night dive. And I was taking a picture of the same thing I was talking about. I was taking a picture of a shark over here. And the next thing I knew, I had a tiger shark and its head buried into my crotch. Mouth not open, just buried into my crotch.
Oof.
Of course, you shove it away. I quickly moved my camera. That camera's so big, it's like a barrier. So there's no problem there. But I had another one. You know, when I'm holding on to my camera, I'm shooting like this. And I had one nip on the top of my hand. Didn't break the skin, no nothing. Didn't even tear my glove. But
yeah,
they know. And that's what happens. When they bite something, when they bite a human, they're not like picking them out. I'm going to go after this guy. They bite something. They figure out that it's not what they're supposed to. It's not part of their diet.
Yeah, it ain't food. Yeah.
They spit it out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the people that die or lose a limb, they've struck an artery, and they've probably bled to death or done so much damage from the bite, that it's irreparable.
So
you get bit by one of these big tiger sharks.
Yeah, good luck. It ain't gonna go well. Yeah,
you ain't gonna.
But you know, you're often doing this at Tiger Beach, right? And so. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's a bit different when you're in open water and you're all by yourself diving down on a reef or something and you run into a hungry tiger shark and maybe, you know, there's 4 or 5 foot waves above you. So it's kicked up a little bit and it's a little murky, a little dirty, the water. And that's when I get nervous. That's when I get a bit nervous.
Yeah,
and I don't get scared. I keep my eye on them. Real close.
Well, the one thing that we do at Tiger Beach is you can always see the boat. You're in 22 feet of water.
Yeah.
So your bottom time's forever.
Yeah.
It's easy to get back to the boat. Most of those sharks, the tigers, all have been given names. So there's so many people that go there.
Yeah.
And the sharks stay in that area. They know. Yeah. It's like, in fact, when our boat pulls up, the sharks come.
Yeah.
The rest of them are, you know, they're travelers. They travel from all over, you know. They might be, you know, they migrate just like a lot of the other animals in the kingdom do. But
yeah.
What
do you say to the argument, though, that what you're doing is wrong and it's just making the sharks not afraid of humans and like shark feeding? I know
in
South Florida, there's a lot of that chatter that goes on, you know, that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a couple of friends. I have another friend, Ryan Walton, right? Shark Tours Florida. They go out and snorkel just outside the limit, the barrier that the government, you know, government waters, U.S. waters. You have to be outside the territory waters to be able to feed sharks, any kind
three
of animals.
It's
against the law to feed. Yeah, I forgot what it might be three or is it three?
It's 3.5, I think.
3.5, I think it is. So,
yeah.
There's sharks are worth more alive than they are dead, and there's a lot of people feeding them. A lot of people. What it does do is it opens people's eyes. It's changing the perspective that you can dive with these things, and they're not man eaters.
Yeah.
They're really not.
I agree with that part of the story, but the part, I guess, that people latch on to is the fact that by feeding them, you're making both their lives and the lives of the humans who are going to be encountering them are worse, more dangerous. And, you know, just like feeding bears, you know, people used to argue about this, you know, in Canada, because I remember growing up, we'd stop the station wagon and we'd all jump out and throw food to the bear that we'd see on the side of the road. Right. But then what was happening is eventually bears go, hey, I'm going to get fed close to the highway. That's where the good food is, peanut butter sandwiches and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to get those next to the highway. And bears are getting run over because, you know, they're going to the highway to get fed, more and more and more of them, right? And then, or you go and you're trying to take pictures and you don't have any food and they get pissed off and they're like, fuck you, you ain't feeding me, I'm going to bite you, dickhead.
Yeah, you exactly. Know? Well, so, that's not why people are getting bitten that go to the beach or whatever. The reason they're getting bitten is because they're in the water splashing around, number one. Mm-hmm. They're simulating what a dead fish or a dying fish
or
would
a seal.
Do. Or a seal. So that's number one. They're doing it. They're in the water where they're down the street or down the beach. There's 10 people fishing, or there's a fishing pier right there. So they're automatic. They're offering food.
Yeah.
But they're not out just, you know. As a rule for me, I won't go in the water if I can't see my feet.
Yeah. That's the other, that's the thing is when the water's really dirty and murky and you don't have 10 feet of visibility, the shark can't see you either. So they just think you're food. Something's moving. I'm going to eat
it. Sharks have a lateral line that runs from the front of their body to the back. And they feel that vibration. They even feel the drop in pressure.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're splashing around, they're feeling that. And they're going to go to wherever that noise is because they don't know that it's not prey or it's not something dead or dying.
Yeah.
So to those sharks are not biting because they're getting used to being around people and feeding. They're doing their normal thing. You know, when they come in and they're most sharks live birth. So that shallow water also helps them, gives them kind of say, not so much a grip, but it's easy. Because they turn over and upside down, they spin around when they're having their pups.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So do you ever dream of like someday retiring from our industry and actually earning, you know, retirement pay by being an ocean photographer or something?
Well, it'd be a really tough transition financially. Yeah.
Well, of course,
right?
Of course.
I do sell a few photos. I just put together a book. I'm going to do now. It's called Submerged. I'm going to do another one now.
Where can people get that book?
Once I figure out how I want to do it, it'll probably be an Amazon thing.
Oh, so it's not available yet.
Not yet. No.
Oh, okay.
I got a first copy of it, so it's gonna, and it looks really good. I got some stuff to clean up, but I'm also gonna do one nothing but sharks, and sharks are my friends, so
yeah,
we'll
that's
see.
So cool.
I could if I wasn't doing this, then all my energy that I have that I put forth in what we do here at Premier Global, I could probably make a pretty good go of it. I don't try very hard. I post them on social media mainly so that my friends can, that may not ever, they can live through my photos and see what really is below. You know, they all take cruises and stuff and they go out on boats and they fish.
Yeah.
But do they go down and really look what's there?
As your buddy, here's what I'd tell you is just get some young person that you know who's got some time and won't charge you a fortune. Get them to set up a really quick Shopify shop for you and just put all of your photos on this Shopify shop. And obviously you got to put them in, you know, low res so that people aren't just grabbing them and they got to be watermarked and all that stuff, but
put
them all on a Shopify store. And then when you post them to social media, instead of posting the picture, post the Shopify link so that when somebody clicks on the picture, it immediately allows them to buy that picture in a few different formats, like a low-res format, a high-res format, a, you know, whatever.
Well, you can do that. I do have a website you can go to, and you can pick out I have several.
Okay.
You know, Pictorium, and then I'm also on SmugMug.
Okay.
So, and there's those are sites where you can go in and, hey, I like that picture. I want to buy it. You can buy it. You can buy it on a coffee cup. You can buy it. a mural even. One of them does. They do. Oh,
I'm gonna have to go look at that because I love those.
I'll send you the links. Yeah.
Every time you post a shark picture, I stop and open it and look at it, and I'm blown away every time. Like, you've definitely done a really good job with that, and I can tell you're getting better too as time goes on. You know and braver.
Connor has a better camera than I do, and he goes, "Dad, you need one of these." I'm like, "No." Because if I change cameras, and I got to change housings, and I got to change gears, and I got to change ports, and it's like, no.
This is
I've mastered enough. This camera. I'm going to stick with it. Because I'm not doing – I still use a D7000. I've been using it for 10 years.
Yeah.
But once you figure out how to use something,
yeah,
it's like they always say, it's not all – you know, it's –
Well, kind of like all these guys, kind of like all these guys that suddenly had to start learning how to build their shows on MA3s, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the syntax and the button presses and just the stuff that is second nature to you, suddenly you got to stop everything and go, okay, wait, which button do I press? And so everything was just a little bit different enough to slow them down.
Oh, it's completely different from when I started. You know what we have? In our front office, in the lobby, there is a QM, Avolite's QM500 from the old days.
Whoa, you don't want to drug test that keyboard tray.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I was telling a story the other day about sniffing cocaine out of the pen.
Out of the drawer. Yeah. Well, you know.
I can't.
So when I first moved to the U.S. from Canada, one of the first shows I went to, and I won't tell you which show it was or the LD who it was, but one of the first shows I was invited to go watch from front of house, I'm there, and he's got a QM500, and while he was doing the show, the LD's pulling out this drawer, and the first couple times he did it, I was like, hang on, is that really what he's doing? and then I'm really watching closely for him to do it again, and probably, I don't know, throughout the show, 6-7 times he was doing bumps off the keyboard drawer.
That wasn't Motley Crue, was it?
I will never tell. Yeah. I will never tell, but it might have been Ted Nugent. And I won't tell you who the LD was. But yeah, it was pretty wild. I was just some dumb, naive Canadian, and I'm seeing this going, what is going on? He's doing drugs right in front of freaking 20,000 people. Yeah, that was crazy. So
yeah, good times.
I'm going to let you get going here shortly, but I want to ask you one thing. Give me a wild 2024 prediction.
For just
whatever the hell you want. The industry, politics, the freaking world, I don't care.
Well, one, Trump beats out all the bullshit that's up against him. He will be the president.
I don't know that that's that wild.
That Tim Scott will be his guy.
Do you really?
I think so.
We might have to make a small wager. I don't know about that.
And then, as far as our industry is concerned, I think everybody's going to do really, really, really well this year.
Yeah,
everybody.
I don't think you're wrong.
All the manufacturers.
Some manufacturers have been crying to me a little bit because it started with a thud. You know, January was way
Roby
below expectations.
Maybe Roby ought to fucking answer their fucking phone, Craig Burrows.
Yeah. Well, you're not going
to
be
scared to fucking throw anybody out there.
You're not going to change whether Craig answers his phone or not overnight, you know, because, I mean, that's been a 25-year problem, you know. He didn't answer his phone 30 years ago when he was at high end.
What is he doing now?
Yeah. So love the guy to death, but try getting him on the phone. Yeah. That's funny.
Honestly, I think that's what's going to happen. I think everybody's going to do really well this year.
Yeah, good. I hope that's the truth. Thanks, Peach.
Yeah, and I hope that from doing this today, I haven't pissed anybody off. But then if I did, who fucking cares?
Well, you never have. I've never known you to be somebody who gave a shit. No. I mean, we stayed out of the controversy, I think.
And totally.
And, you know, reality is what reality is. And there's some weird shit going on in the world right now. And I don't agree with all of it. That's for sure. I know you don't either. So, yeah. I appreciate you taking some time today, Creech.
Yeah,
and
thanks for
let me know
me
when
on.
You're coming down to Fort Lauderdale or Riviera or wherever you go
well,
out
dude,
of.
I see time. It in my real near future, to be honest with you.
Yeah, let me know.
So, yeah.
Let me know. We can grab dinner, a drink, lunch, whatever you got time for.
And I'll get you into the show this time.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah. I don't bug people
sure
for
a good one.
I don't bug people for shows anymore.
The next one might be Lynyrd Skynyrd, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because I've never seen them. Yeah.
It's still it's there's
I'd be coming to hang out with you. I'd be coming
band,
to hang out with you.
They are, but they are still the best Southern rock band out there.
Yeah, of course. No, they put on an incredible
and playing
show.
All the hits. And they're the band, Johnny Van Zant, sweet as a peach, great guy. Tosser is out there now. Tosser's now. Steve Vidouris took his spot. God bless Steve Vidouris.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year it's again, Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top. So
oh, cool.
There's another one out there. Nope. Another icon.
Let me know when you're down here. I'd love to come see you.
I will do.
All right.
Cool.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, Creech.
Thanks, guys.